Hi everyone, and welcome to the next episode of the iReady podcast. And with me, I'll start that again.
You should have kept the first one.
It's just been that long, you know.
That's what she didn't say.
Hi everyone, it's Derek from.
Seriously?
It's going to be one of these nights, isn't it?
Oh my god!
Right. Start again.
Right, fourth time lucky.
Hi everyone, it's Derek from the iReady podcast, and with me is my... For fuck's sake.
Do you want me to do it? Oh my god, right.
Fifth time lucky, fifth take Derek, that's what they call me. What did we actually do? I can't remember. Was it 1-0, 2-0?
2-0. Derek, come on. The phone off field, come on.
What's Sajaria doing?
Oh, Sadiq.
Sadiq, I've done that again. Fucking hell.
Did you see Ajaria?
Ajaria, aye. Remember I done that the last time?
Exactly.
Fuck sake.
Oh, Omar Sadiq, you're thinking about Derek.
Aye.
Do you want to say that again?
Aye.
Sorry.
No, the moment's gone now. The irony of the situation is, it was meant as a joke for you, but it's probably turned out to be more laughs for that one.
It's the fact that you were going to redate it just to get the joke.
I can never tell jokes, and the way I always fuck up a joke, and that turns out to be funnier than the actual joke.
Oh, dearie dear. Right, can you put a pause on it just for a wee second to go to the loo, is that all right?
I don't expect anything different now.
Excellent. Cheers, mate.
And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.
Manchester, brace yourself.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the next episode of the iReady podcast. As ever, I'm your host Derek, and with me is my co-host Dave. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm very well, mate. How are you?
I'm very, very good as well. Dave's still wetting himself after the attempts to try and get this started at the first place.
Right, on you go.
Yes.
For God's sake, get started.
Yes, I'm started already, Dave. Come on. You can't contain yourself now.
At least we're laughing now. We'll not be laughing when you're doing the match reviews,
anyway. Oh, certainly not. Yes, four matches to go over. The performances have been not the greatest. The results have been good for three and dire for one. So that's all we can really say about that. We may as well end the match reviews there. But,
aye, that's it. And that was the four games, right? Moving on to the news.
So we may as well just get started, and we'll go down the tunnel and onto the pitch. So before the main games we've got to cover, we were obviously away in Dubai on our winter training, wasn't it, Dave?
Yes, it was, and it seems a good idea at the time, eh, Derek? You know, in hindsight, I don't know if it is, you know, when we come back, because we just seem to struggle. We did it last year, and it's happened again this year, so I don't know what's happening with them. They'd be as well just staying and going to Bob and Blackpool for the week, I think.
Build the sands back in Gullen or something.
Exactly,
like that.
Yes.
Yeah. Pampered life of footballers, potentially. Something seems to be happening, but we did play a friendly over there. It was on Saturday, the 11th of January. We won 6-1 against Lokomotiv Tashkent. Really, I never watched the game. It was on, but I was out on a day out with my wife, so I never watched it. I take it you never watched it, Dave?
No, I seen the updates on Twitter, Derek. That was about it, but I knew it would basically just be a wee kick about, eh? So
yeah. So Defoe, Ojo, Davis, Tavernier, and Stewart got a double as well. So a wee runabout. I don't think, from all reports, we ran ourselves into the ground like we seemed to do last year, because I think it was quite intense last year, and whereas this year it was a bit less so. Yeah, it still had the same outcome, didn't it? So
yeah, it did. Yep.
Something to review for next year. But anyway, into the main games. The first game we've got to cover is Friday, the 17th of January. It was a 2-0 home win against Stranraer in the Scottish Cup round 4. And I think Gerard summed it up best where he said it was a bit of a bore.
It was. I mean, I think, Derek, I don't think anybody was too disheartened with the game. And I'm sure you were going to get into it. But, you know, I think everybody was seeing it as, oh, you know, we can win this game. Nae bother. We'll bring in, you know, we'll bring in a few sort of fringe players, give them a game and basically just get through. It doesn't really matter what the score was. So at that stage, I don't think anybody was too disheartened, you know, with the performance. But I'm sure as you're about to get into, you know, your details of the game, there wasn't that much going on in it, was there?
No, certainly not. Before the game started, there was a minute silence for the passing of former keeper Bobby Brown, which we'll get into later on. The Loving Cup ceremony as well. It was the first home game after the new year. As usual, a brilliant tradition that gets upheld by the club. As usual as well, the usual suspects having a pop at us as well. You know, they've tried to kill us. They thought they had killed us, and the only thing they've got left is going after our tradition. So, fuck them, basically.
Yep, definitely.
And then maybe a wee concern, and obviously the more concerning thing was that it turned out that Tavernier was out because there was some sketchy reports initially that he had appendix issue, then it wasn't, and then he did actually have to go into surgery for some reason. I'm guessing it's still he's been appendix, and he's been out ever since. And obviously as well, Morelos was suspended as well from a previous Scottish Cup ban, so... as you said, few fringe players we thought were going to come in. Started off with Fotheringham, Nathan Patterson, the youngster, making his debut in the right back position. Edmondson, Katic, Halliday, Davis, Jack, Arfield, Jones, Defoe, and Aribo. On the subs bench, we had Firth, Ojo, Flanagan, Barker, Polster, Mayo, and Kennedy. So, in the 13th minute, we cross in from Arfield on the right, off the head of Jones and just over. 21st minute, lovely sustained play all round, ending in Defoe feeding the ball back through to Jack in the box who had a shot, but it hits off the left post. 33rd minute, Halliday gets the ball in the box, has a shot, but saved by the legs of the keeper. 33rd minute, Aribo has a shot on the deck on the left-hand side, but it goes wide of the right post. And then finally, we broke the deadlock on the 44th minute with Arfield scoring. The corner came in, which it shouldn't have been a corner, which we'll get into in a minute, from the right. Edmondson tries a back heel, but ends up hitting the ball against his other leg, falls to Arfield with his first touch and controls it, and then with his second touch shoots it in the back of the net. Maybe a bit of fortune the way Edmondson tried to backheel and it came off his own leg and we got the break of the ball, but it was some great vision and great skill by Arfield to actually control it and then score, wasn't it?
And great for Arfield as well, Derek. He's been desperate, you know, to get back amongst the goals, hasn't he? You can see that ever since he's came back into the team, that he's been desperate to score, and I think that's what he's needing, just to get a couple of goals to get, you know, his confidence back. So I absolutely delighted for him, even though it was against, no offence, but lesser opposition. It's always good to get a goal, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. And as I said, in terms of the corner, it was both players slid in for it. The ball clearly came off the legs of our player. I think it might have been Arfield himself, actually, last. And for some reason, the linesman gave it as a corner. So, you know, we'll, as I said in the post-match, we'll quite happily admit when we got a bit of luck in that respect. No cheating referees or anything like that. An error by the referee. We got the rub of the green this time, and it makes a change.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. Just after that, there was on the 45th minute, there was a corner in from the left. Katic gets a great head to it in the box. A great diving save on the right side of the goal by the keeper. And that's how the half ended. So we went in 1-0 up. Everybody was expecting it to be 4 or 5 goals right in the game, but it's never going to be like that at home, especially against a lesser opposition. They clearly set up to go for the draw, and you wouldn't expect anything different. You know, no. They obviously know their limitations. They're going to play within themselves and anti-football, as it were, as we did against the likes of Barcelona. So
never.
So, second half, expecting a wee bit more, but never really came, I don't think. 52nd minute, Patterson down the right, driving the ball into the box, passes to Defoe, who keeps going towards goal, loses the ball off the defender, but then regains it, tries to shoot, but blocked, then falls into the path of Aribo, who tries to shoot, but is deflected wide for the corner. 53rd minute, us attacking, ending the ball breaking for Defoe, pretty much on the touchline on the right side of the goal, has a shot at a tight angle, but the keeper was there to get his body behind it. 56th minute, Patterson starts move on the right, passes to Aribo, who holds up the ball, ends up back with Patterson at the edge of the box, who has a shot which was looping in, a great save to pull it off the bar. That was an outstanding move all round, that, and great from Patterson as well.
Yep. Certainly, no, he looked good, Derek, to be fair to the young guy. I mean, I know I've said it already, it's against so-called lesser opposition, but for a young guy to come in his first game, he certainly looked really comfortable. He looked great going forward as well, and he'd be putting some fantastic balls.
Yeah, absolutely. Granted, he hadn't been tested defensively, but going forward, he was good. 63rd minute, Jones off, Barker on. 64th minute, Defoe gets the ball on the edge of the box, holds it up well and uses his strength, passes to Davis in the box, who has a shot, saved by the keeper, deflects off the defender and back into the path of the keeper again. 65th minute, Defoe brought down in the box after a great pass by Davis through the defence. It was a clear penalty and no arguments there as well.
Yep, definitely.
And up steps Defoe on the 66th minute to make it 2-0. Sends the keeper the wrong way and in off the left post as well. So outstanding penalty.
Yep.
Just after that, Defoe off and Ojo came on in the 67th minute. 77th minute, header by Aribo, comfortable for the keeper. 80th minute, Aribo off, Kai Kennedy on, making his competitive debut as well. 90th minute, break down the right with Barker getting in front of the defence, takes the ball towards goal, tried to cross on the deck to Kennedy at the back, but he couldn't thread it through. It was just a really poor cross by Barker there. Kennedy was in an outstanding position. Had he actually had the chance to get any contact on it, I'm sure that would have been in the back of the net.
I think so, yeah. I think so. But as you say, it was a poor ball over, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So you've got to say 2-0, it wasn't the emphatic win that some were expecting. You know, we were comfortable, obviously. I don't think Stranraer had a shot on target or shot at all. It was completely our game. We were in full control, just maybe a wee bit lacking with the cutting edge up front, which has been a factor throughout a lot of the games this season and every single game that we're going to cover tonight as well.
I honestly didn't expect any more, Derek, to be honest with you. As I say, coming back from the winter break, they're always going to be rusty, they're always going to be still, you know, I don't know, just maybe the mentality is still not there. It's good that we did have a game like that, which was, you know, treated more like a sort of bounce game than anything else. I'm not doing a disservice to Stranraer, but, you know, we should be able to beat teams like this, absolutely no problem. And we never struggled once, Derek, and it's exactly like you said, it was just that sort of just in the final third that we were lacking. But certainly we're in control the whole game, and I wasn't downhearted about the score or the performance. I was just happy that they were through. There was no injuries, there was no, you know, nothing sinister happened in the game, and just a straightforward victory. So, and I think the vast majority of Rangers fans were feeling the same as me. So there wasn't a lot of grumbles on social media, but that changes over the next few games, doesn't it?
So the next game, Wednesday the 22nd of January, at home to St Mirren. We lined up McGregor, Flanagan, Goldson, Katic, Barisic, Jack, Davis, Kamara, Aribo, Defoe and Kent. On the subs bench we had Fotheringham, Edmondson, Halliday, Jones, Arfield, Ojo and Patterson. Now this game we wondered who would actually start in the right back position, considering, you know, Patterson showed he'd done very well in the last game, but obviously Flanagan got the nod, which you can kind of understand. He's the more experienced player. You can be forgiven for being a wee bit lax in the last game for the fact that it was the first game back, blown off the cobwebs, as you said, not too many grumbles as well. This was the obviously probably the more important game in terms of the league, obviously. Mm-hmm. So we needed maybe the more experienced player there, but it turned out he never really showed much either, did he? So this game as well, I was having RTV issues as well, and I didn't see parts of the game, but to be honest, it was a bore as well. There was not a lot happened, and I didn't bother rewatching the game for the purposes of this because I wasn't putting myself through it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, on the second minute, Defoe with a volley just by the post. Fifth minute, Flanagan foul on McGuinness. McGuinness had to go off injured with a good 3 or 4 minute stoppage time to get treatment to go off. 22nd minute, corner in from the right and a header by Katic just over the bar. And then we broke the deadlock on the 33rd minute with Defoe scoring. Lots of build-up play in and around the box, went from the right side, crossed to the left, knocked away by the defence, only to the left side of the box to Barisic, who tried what looked like a shot, deflected off the feet of the defender right into the path of Defoe, who instinctively puts out his leg and knocks the ball into the back of the net. Just great from all round again from that, but outstanding from Defoe, just pure instinct. And I think both me and you said the same thing at the same time, didn't we?
We certainly did, as you say. It was just pure instinct by Defoe. A lot of sort of players out there would have waited to see, you know, or hoped the ball was going to land right at their feet. But as soon as he got a glimpse of that, the foot was out to, you know, to direct the ball into the net. And it was just an outstanding sort of poacher's finish. So, no, really good goal.
Yep. And then the last thing I've got here with half time. 54th minute, Davis with a shot from distance, but went well wide. 66th minute, ball floated into the box. Katic with a volley going to the far post. Just was he by the post. Defoe couldn't quite get his foot out quick enough to make contact and put it in the back of net. 69th minute, Kamara off, Arfield on. 72nd minute, Arfield a shot over the bar from distance. 73rd minute, a long free kick floated into our box. Attacker gets in front of our defence and a free header sent wide. That really should have been a goal. It was as clear as day. I don't know what their defence was playing at that point there, but St Mirren should have scored there. 77th minute, quick break up the park, move to the left side, just outside of the box with Barisic having a shot. Bounces right in front of the keeper, but a fairly comfortable take for him. 79th minute, Aribo off, Ojo on. 89th minute, a volley from Arfield in the box, saved by the keeper. 94th minute, a quick break up the park after defending from a St Mirren corner. Ojo breaks, passes the ball down the left. Ball ended up getting to Defoe in the box with a shot, and the keeper makes a good save over the bar. And then the final whistle was blown at that point there as well. So, again, it was, apart from that one glaring chance for St Mirren where they should have scored, they'd done nothing else in the game. The game was all us. It was just our lack of cutting edge once again.
Yes, it was. And that was when, in my mind, Derek, the wee sort of shreds of doubt were coming into my head. And I thought to myself, if this is what we are, if we're struggling, you know, because Morelos isn't playing, then that's quite worrying. Because at the start of the season, when Morelos was out, and remember we had Defoe in, we were playing some absolutely fantastic football with him and the team. And we thought to ourselves, oh, well, because at that point there was all the speculation that Morelos was getting sold and he'd be away, and we also thought to ourselves, well, we're still playing fantastic without him, but everything was just so flat, wasn't it? And it was just, as you say, it's just a lack of cutting edge. We were getting so far, and then we seemed to be running out of ideas, and you were just looking for somebody to give us a wee bit of a spark, but it didn't happen. And thankfully we had the goal and we were winning 1-0, because as you say, St Mirren were never in the game. We were comfortable that way, but it was just so, so flat. And you thought that, you know, the players would be desperate after, you know, the winter break to get back in and really go for it. But as I say, the 3 points were all that mattered at the end of the day. But just that wee bit of doubt, I was starting to think, and it wasn't great, but thank goodness we got the goal and we won the game, Derek. That was the main thing. And the one thing that I was thinking about was, you know, when we came back for the break in the last game, the first league game that we had back was against Kilmarnock, and remember how much a disaster that was. So at least we did win the match after then. But as I say, you're about to go into the next game, which isn't a great reading. So on you go.
Just in relation to the last couple of games there, and it's been a feature of the season, this new age word for basically parking the bus, this low block. You know, players like Kent were brought in specifically to deal with that and give some sort of different outlet in terms of trying something different. And we're just in the last few games there, we've done the same thing time and time again, try and get down the wing, try and cross it in, but it's no working, so we do the exact same thing again. And it was a lack of invention. That's what I found over the last few games, and a lot of the time this season as well, when we have struggled with that.
I think it is quite, and I know everybody and their granny's been saying this, and I know that you're still not sure, Derek, but the way that we've been playing this season is, if Tavernier's playing and Barisic is playing, we've at least got options in either wing. So if it's not working down one side, we can change it and go down the other side. But with Tavernier not playing, we've not got that at all, because Flanagan just isn't going to make the runs. For Flanagan's not going to do anything over the halfway line. And we really miss that movement and the overlap and run. And both St Mirren and Hearts were basically double-teaming Barisic and Kent on the left-hand side, and that's why we weren't having any joy whatsoever. And it was basically just leaving, you know, Aribo on the right-hand side on his own with no support, where he's usually got Tavernier bombing down, you know, making the overlapping runs and stuff, but he just didn't have that. And it's a big factor for us because that's the way that we play, Derek. So that's why I'm quite surprised to see the likes of Flanagan was playing in that game, because he doesn't give us that attacking option, and we do need our fullback to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the way we play and the way a lot of teams play. So anyway, into the next game, as you said, it was on Sunday the 26th of January. It was a 2-1 loss away against Hearts in the Premiership. And the team, quite kind of surprisingly, remained unchanged. Completely different set of circumstances, and to keep the team unchanged, unusual for Gerrard as well, because he normally makes two or three changes at least. But on the subs bench, we had Fotheringham, Edmondson, Ojo, Halliday, Jones, Polster and Arfield. So really the first half, very poor first half from us. We didn't get to grip with the game at all. Midfield posted missing. Hearts were running all over us in the midfield, especially. Hearts are kind of... somebody slated me online for this, but Hearts are the new Aberdeen. They only seem to try when it's us, because they got a point against us the last time.
I think you made a valid point when you made that, Derek. I know that the person who, you know, replied to you is probably a young chap who, you know, no offence to him, hasn't really been watching Rangers as long as we have, and watching us play against Aberdeen and know these things that we have done for like the last sort of 20 years, that watched a continuous shit Aberdeen team do absolutely nothing apart from when they play us. So I actually thought you made a valid point, Derek, when you said that, but somebody took major offence at you saying that and wasn't happy. But no, you're quite right. We've been watching Rangers a long, long time, Derek, and every single season we've said it, that Aberdeen shit the bed when they play against Celtic. When they play against Rangers, they play like their life's depended on it. And we've seen it all the time. So, you know, and you, as you quite rightly said, that's twice this season that Hearts have done exactly the same thing, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this game was Hearts' third win of the season.
Exactly. You
know, and 17 points in the league. So a quarter of the points that they've scored this year are off us. It's a joke. So, but anyway, as I said, they were up for it. They were breaking quickly and then they've taken control. We've been really one dimensional in this game, playing long high balls down the wing. Two times we did try to do something different to get the ball on the deck and through the middle. It was with we actually had a chance with Kent and Aribo, and both of them were good chances to go ahead. Just a lack of composure.
Yeah.
But in the 10th minute, there was a shot from shot by Hearts from distance, but it was a trundle and an easy take for McGregor. 11th minute, quick break from the left, played to the right, ball fed through the middle to Kent, who gets into the box, takes a first time shot but ballooned it over the bar. 14th minute, Hearts have the ball in the back of the net, but it was offside. No arguments, it was well offside. It was sloppy from Davis in the first place though, as Nasheem got the jump on him. 19th minute, long ball up the left, ball knocked in front of Aribo, who got in front of the defender and into the box. Keeper comes out and Aribo managed to knock it wide. There were the two chances there from Kent and Aribo, which a wee bit more composure, fair play to the keeper on both occasions. He did was alert and came out to meet it, but you know, these two players are skillful players. Rather than just knock it by them, they could have tried to dink round the keeper or something, but be a bit more composure. 38th minute, corner in from the right to the far post. Goldson with a looping header, but no pace and easy for the keeper, who really made a Hollywood type save with that one. And then that's where half time ended.
Well, on half time, Derek, I don't know about you, but I said to myself, you know, we've been really poor, but we have created the better chances, even although we've not played well. I took a lot of confidence from that, because I thought to myself, if we're still creating chances and playing really poorly as we were, I thought surely the second half we can up our game, because they are dreadful, and surely we can go out and try and win the game. And that was honestly how I felt at half time. I was supremely confident at half time that we were going to go and get the win.
I mean, it was clear that a couple of changes had to be made. I think Jack, one of the two, had picked up a knock, I think, and Jack and Flanagan had came off. Jack, certainly since he came back from the break, he's certainly been off the boil as well. Flanagan was a dead cert to come off. Mm-hmm. Who came on was Arfield and Polster. Now, Polster was brilliant in this half. He was probably the only player that really came off with any pass marks, and he'd really taken that position.
He was at least trying to attack, Derek, and he looked quite comfortable in the ball, which Flanagan didn't, if you know what I mean. So, you know, I was certainly a hell of a lot happier with him playing in that position than I was with Flanagan.
Yeah. And really, on the back of this performance and the next performance there, there was plans to send him out on loan for the rest of the season, but he's been now, that's been scrapped and tried to keep his position. But, I mean, Flanagan was never going to make the right-back position his own because Tavernier would have been a dead cert to slot back in there. But what I expected from Flanagan is to show something, and he was given the opportunity, and he failed that opportunity, sad to say. With Polster coming back into the fray now, he certainly showed some promise with that one, which we'll get into. But could it be that going forward, and I've been saying this for a while now, can we not put somebody else in right-back position and allow Tavernier to be the right winger, as it were, for him going forward? Because he's a much better player going forward than he is going back.
He is, Derek. But I think that the way that Steven Gerrard likes us to play is to have him as the sort of overlapping player, that extra option for a winger. So I don't think that Steven Gerrard would have that in the team. I think he likes to have Tavernier playing in that. And I know that there's a lot of folk out there saying, oh, he can't defend, in the big games he's caught lacking and all of that. But just with the style that we play, the same as Barisic, it would be like saying that you didn't play Ryan Kent, but you put Barisic as your left winger and have another player behind him. I honestly don't think that that's what he would do. And I think he prefers to have him as the man that's making the overrunning laps, as he does so well. And certainly in a game like that against Hearts, we really, really missed him for doing that. But I understand where you're coming from, Derek, but I honestly don't think that that's, you know, he would ever get played there, because I think that Steven Gerrard likes him where he plays him, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. So in the second half, you know how I'm trying to procrastinate here and put off this half. So the double change was made at half-time, and we thought the kick up the arse that they probably would have been given paid off, because in the 46th minute, we went 1-0 up with Ryan Kent scoring.
With an absolutely incredible goal, Derek. It was a fantastic goal.
Yeah, he started the whole thing himself. Mm-hmm. So Kent with a quick break from our half, going through the middle towards the left, gets it to Barisic on the left, who cuts it back to find Aribo in the box, who lays it off to Kent, who shoots into the back of net on the right. I'm simplifying that there, but it was a great sweeping move from front to back. Yeah,
the ball in from Barisic was, you know, absolutely fantastic, but he's done it so many times now. But the guy has just got a wonder left foot. He really has. I'm using all the cliches here, mate, I know. But it was a great ball in. But the sort of cushion, the calmness from Aribo to know exactly where Kent was, to lay off the perfect ball to him in the shot, it was tremendous. And it's obviously something that they're working on, you know, in training, that move in from the left, the quick pass and out to Barisic, the ball in, the layoff, the goal. It was an absolutely fantastic goal. And in any other day, it would have been a goal to win a game. It was such a good move and such a good goal. But, you know, from a fantastic move to us just suddenly losing it completely.
Yeah. Absolutely. So on the 51st minute, Kent shot from distance and it was deflected over the bar. And then Hearts drew level on the 56th minute with, I don't know what Kamara was thinking about this year. Kamara dithering with the ball on the left-hand side. It wasn't even in our defence. It was kind of more in the midfield area. He was robbed of the ball, played down the left side towards the left side of our defence towards the attacker, cut back into the box to Neesham. The closest defender was Goldson, who slips and allows Neesham to dink the ball over him and McGregor into the back of the net. Don't blame McGregor at all. Goldson, you know, it's not the first time he's slipped. It'll not be probably the last. It's one of these things that can happen. But Kamara, I just don't know what he was doing throughout the game. He just seemed to be picking the wrong option every time. And
Derek, you said in the previous game there that Ryan Jack seems to have regressed since he's came back from the winter break. Look at Glenn Kamara, a guy who has been absolutely sensational for us. And ever since he's came back for the winter break, he looks he looks scared. He looks, I honestly don't know. He doesn't look anything like the player that we had before that break.
I don't think even it's just since the winter break. I think it's been all season. He's not been the same player. He's looking like the 50 grand player we paid for him. He's certainly not looking like the couple of million player was at the end of last season.
I think he's been really good for us, Derek, especially in the big games he's been good. But the last few games since that break, I just think he looks really, really... I'm not going to say poor, but he just looks so hesitant and just not assured like he was before. And so that's another one, you know, another player that we rely on who's really no, you know, he's lost it since he's came back. Another worrying thing for us.
It's no coincidence, though, that in this game, our midfield got totally overrun throughout the whole game, and none of the players seemed to... It was the midfielders probably that was. I've been playing the worst as well, with Jack and with Kamara there. Mm-hmm. So,
yep.
But anyway, 63rd minute, Polster down the right hand side, gives the ball to Aribo in the box, passes back to him, and then again ending Aribo having a shot going just wide of the goal. Polster was clearly taken out in the box too, which nothing was given for. Nobody really made much a thing about it. 73rd minute, Kamara off, Ojo on. I mean, you take off a bad player and you bring Ojo on. I mean, what kind of hope have you got?
You really don't like him, do you, Derek?
I have a mild disliking, yes.
Right, on you go.
81st minute, Goldson clears it off the line after a quick break from Hearts. We then quickly break up the park with the full pass to Ojo on the right-hand side of the box, but couldn't find his feet. And then it all went to shit on the 83rd minute, where it went 2-1 Hearts. Hearts crossed the ball from the left to right, a lot of time with the ball in the box, switches feet, hits a shot and deflected off one of our defenders' feet and into the near side post to put Hearts 2-1 up. A deflected goal, bit of luck. This Boyce who scored the goal, you know, he's had a half-decent game and he scored a deflected goal and the media are hailing him as this the next coming of Jesus or something like that. But in terms of us, it was a poor goal to lose as well.
It was a terrible goal to lose, Derek. And this guy, Boyce, was injured, Derek. They were getting ready to take him off and they couldn't make it any more subs. They were working on him for ages, so for an injured player to score a goal like that against us, it was a complete disaster. Bird defence, complete disaster, that they couldn't track him, because when you watch the goal back, Derek, they allowed him, they gave him the space to have the shot. I know it was deflected, but he still was allowed to have the space in the box. Nobody closed him down. And it was really, really poor. Really poor. And I couldn't quite believe it when I was watching it that it happened and it ended up in the back of the net. There was a deflection, but he should never have been allowed even the opportunity to get that shot away. But he was given so much time on the ball in the box that, you know, it ended up in the back of the net. It was just really poor.
Yeah. But as I said in the post-match pods, he tried a speculative shot. And it came off for him, mm-hmm. which is something that we don't seem to do often enough. We try the speculative shot and it seems to be, you know, ballooned over the bar or well wide. We just can't seem to get a grip of just trying shots. We try to look for the perfect goal too much as well. We want to walk it in the net. And when you've got a crowded box like that, it's not going to work that way.
Yep.
So that's how the game ended up. Once again, the bipolar support we've got, you know, show their face. That was tons of people saying, oh, the league's over. You know, this player, he's just fucking shit and all that, blah, 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 blah. And they were talking about, you know, Defoe as well. He's still got a great touch. Yes, I don't think he can be used up front himself. He needs service. He plays off other players like that. Morelos doesn't play like that because he gets back, he makes a lot of the chances for himself and he bullies the defence and the kind of midfield as well. Defoe doesn't do that. So... For people to claim that, oh, that he's shit, that's fucking ridiculous. For people to claim that the league's over, again, another ridiculous statement. And as I put on Twitter that same night, some people really need to keep their emotions in check. Having a go is at other fans as well for having an opinion that differ from them. It's a bit sad and pathetic. And I know that people are desperate to win the league and stop Celtic's run. As I said before, I don't give a shit about Celtic's run 9 or 10 in a row, whatever it be. I don't recognise it for the fact that for 4 years we weren't in the league.
Derek, things like this happen, right? And teams always get beat in the run-up when you're gone, when you're trying to put a run together and all that. These things happen. The only thing for me, and I think a lot of people, is it's like deja vu. We're all terrified in case it goes to shit like it did last year, and we start drawing, you know, dropping points, getting silly draws here, silly draws there. I think just the most concerning part for me is just the team isn't playing well, Derek, and it wasn't playing well against Stranraer, it didn't play well against St Mirren, and it certainly didn't play well there against Hearts. And it's even more annoying when we score a goal of supreme quality like we did against the team at the bottom of the league. And, you know, even a goal like that and the play like that can lift the team. I think there was a lot of players, I think I texted you at the same time, you know, I was delighted that we got Ryan Kent back in the team. But it's games like that that we need guys like Ryan Kent to step up. When we've not got Morelos playing, Morelos is your talisman, Derek. He's absolutely world class. I love him. Absolutely love him. We miss him so much. But games like that, the likes of Ryan Kent should be able to step up. It's no his fault that we paid the £7 million, I realise that. But when Morelos is to playing, we're looking to Ryan Kent, aren't we, to get things going for us. We're looking at him to be making these runs, to be taking the ball. And even he's kind of went off the boil for the whole team's went off the boil, Derek, since we went away on this break. And it was the same that happened last year. And I think that's just what everybody's worried about, isn't it? And everybody's, you know, starting to panic a wee bit, you know, because we got beaten that game. And I was absolutely raging at the end of it because I was just more annoyed with how poor the team played. But we need to take it in the chin, Derek, and that's the thing. And thankfully, we didn't have to wait too much longer for the next game to come along so that we could hope that the team could go out and try and rectify their play. So yeah. I don't know if you've got any more to say on the Hearts game or not.
Just it's more the case of kind of following from what you're saying. It's almost like people think we'd rely on Tavernier and Morelos, and people are blaming, some people were, including my dad, by the way, was blaming Morelos for getting himself suspended. Yeah, it was maybe needless for a couple of things he'd done to get himself suspended. But what that's telling me is then that we're a one-man team, and we're not because we know how well these players can play. And if they're trying to say that it's Morelos that's making them look good, then I'm sorry, then every single player needs booted out the team if that's the case.
It's not that, Derek. It is no. when these guys are playing, it has given us another option to go for, right? It's given us an option. It's given Barisic and Kent on one side. It's given us, you know, Tavernier, Aribo and Morelos up front. But when those two players aren't playing, we are then relying on, you know, two players to get the team going, right? And that is me being completely honest. When you take away two of your main attacking options, and well, Morelos is our main attacking option. That's him. I mean, he is. Morelos is, you know, an absolutely sensational player. You take him out, of course you're going to be weakened, right? Of course you are. But you take Tavernier out as well on the right hand side, we are then relying majorly on the left hand side. And teams know that, Derek. And we don't have the players, I believe, to replace those two just now. Because, like I said, we brought in Flanagan. Flanagan's not going to do any attacking whatsoever. We've brought in Polster, who looks... I know you said that you thought he was brilliant. I thought he played all right. He certainly, compared to Flanagan going forward, looked a hell of a lot better, but still nowhere near as good as what Tavernier is going forward. And then, of course, we've got Defoe, who I think is fantastic, but I prefer him to be coming off the bench to play for us. I think he is a great player to bring on. I'm not as convinced when we're playing against these type of games that he's the man to lead us up front on his own. Just like what you've said, he needs to feed off somebody, and we don't have that. We also had Greg Stewart, who is injured. We could have been doing with him in this game, because I think that him just behind Defoe could have unlocked a few things. We didn't have that. So I think that teams know, well, their main attacking options are going to be down the left-hand side. We make sure that our right-hand side is completely packed. And that's basically what's happened, Derek. That is what's happened. And we've been found out, and it's quite easy to see. So, You know, that's why we need some quality replacements in there in case anything, you know, goes, you know, anything happens. And we've not got that just now, unfortunately, and teams have figured that out.
Yeah. So what we'll do is we'll now go on to the next game. We'll leave the Hearts game there. It was last night. It was Wednesday, the 29th of January, at home to Ross County, and we won 2-0. So we made three changes. We lined up McGregor, Polster, Goldson, Katic, Barisic, Davis, Kamara, Arfield, Kent, Defoe and Ojo. On the subs bench, we had Fotheringham, Edmondson, Aribo, Patterson, Jones, Barker and Morelos. So Morelos back in to the subs bench. Obviously, he could have started, but there was a wee rumour that he might have been injured. Certainly, there was a wee incident, which we'll get into later on as well. More interestingly, though, Flanagan not to be seen anywhere.
Yeah, yep, seen that.
So certainly telling. But anyway, I've not got a lot to cover here because the game was, again, us completely in control, but it was rather boring. Never created a lot of clear-cut chances for me to even comment on. So, anyway, 8th minute, quick break up the park after Goldson blocks the ball in their defence, gets the ball to Ojo, passes to Kent on the left side, who drives it forward, has a shot, it was going wide, it was just tipped wide by the keeper for the corner anyway. 28th minute, Arfield with a shot deflected over the bar for the corner, and we got a goal on the 40th minute with Jermaine Defoe scoring. A cross in from Barisic on the left, bit of fortune as the ball flicks up off the boot of the defender in the middle. Arfield with a header to control it, and then he managed to get the header again and passes it to Defoe, who takes the ball on with his thigh. He dinks it past the defender and he spins to shoot it past the keeper. Just another outstanding piece of play by Defoe as well. Just pure instinct the guy works off.
It was just that he just sort of guided it into the net, Derek. It wasn't a thunderous shot or anything, but he knew exactly where he was putting the ball. It was excellent finishing by Defoe. It really was, as you say, back to goal, controlled with his thigh, a quick turn, and he just sort of passed it into the net. The goalkeeper did get his hand to it, but it was such a good finish that there was no way that he was going to keep that out.
No, definitely not. So into half-time, 1-0, certainly, once again, but a pedestrian performance, quite flat, not really much inventiveness going forward. Again, though, we were in complete control, and that's what's the annoying thing. So, into half-time, and then we scored straight away in the 46th minute with Arfield scoring again this time. Ojo from the right, driving through the middle, passes to Defoe, and with an outstanding flick with his back heel onto Arfield, who was running in through in the middle of the box, shoots it past the keeper.
Yeah.
Once again, it was a good move. It all started from Ojo, which was great, but Defoe flick was just sublime.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic. It was a great goal, Derek, and again, delighted for Arfield, because I thought that Arfield, in my opinion, was probably about our best player on the night. He was putting himself everywhere. I think he's sort of maybe taking it, you know, trying to take the sort of weight of the team on his shoulders with the likes, you know, Jack no playing and Kamara, you know, really no playing that well for us. Even Steve Davis is kind of off the ball a wee bit, so I kind of felt that Arfield was really trying, busting a gut box to box. He was getting in amongst everything, and delighted again that he scored, Derek, because he did score a lot of goals for us last season, and he has throughout his career, so delighted for him to go on the goal sheet again. I really like Arfield. I think he's he gives 100% all the time, and just delighted for him that he's back in amongst the goals again.
Yeah, absolutely. But disaster on the 58th minute, though. Defoe running through on goal, but instantly pulls up.
Yep.
And it turns out it's been a calf injury. He looked in quite a lot of distress, and he had to get stretchered off. So initially, we kind of thought it might have been a hamstring. The gaffers kind of came out after the game and said it looks like it's a calf injury, so you're maybe looking at about 4 or 5 weeks, I think. So,
which is a disaster for us, that one.
Yeah. Because what happens if Morelos gets suspended? What happens if he gets injured? Then we're really without a recognised striker, aren't we?
Yes. Getting back to the game, Derek, I think we all had a sort of sharpened take a breath as soon as we seen him holding up there and holding onto his leg. Every single one of us just were like, oh, shit, that's all we need. And then when the stretcher came on, we're like, no, this is something quite serious, this for him. And as you say, he did look in some distress when he went off. And straight away, I think every single Rangers fan to a man all said at the same time, we need to go out and sign a striker within the next two days before the transfer window shuts. That was what everybody was thinking. But we have got our man, though, Derek. He is there. Morelos is there. He's coming back. A lot of people were under the impression that he was only one yellow card away from getting another ban, but apparently that's not the case, Derek. Do you know what the ins and outs are of that one?
Yeah, I think it's all to do with the totting up procedure. Tom Miller did mention that he's got a yellow card away from...
But then he retracted that, Tom Miller, today on
he's
Twitter.
He's done it today, yeah. So,
to say that wasn't the case, so...
So I think he's got quite a few cards. I think it's depending on what time you get the card. I don't know how it works. It's convoluted SFA rules again. So, but anyway, into the game, Defoe came off and Aribo came on the 61st minute. 66th minute, Kent came off and Morelos came on. 73rd minute, Davis off, Jones came on. 78th minute, Ojo on the left gets fouled, but deflects the ball off the Ross County winger and goes towards their goal. Morelos nips in and tries to dink it, but it was just over the bar.
Really unlucky with that one, yeah.
Yeah, and 94th minute, Morelos turns and hits a snapshot in the box, but just right at the keeper, so easy for the keeper to take there, and that's how the game rounded out. So,
yep. But again, Derek, right, you're just saying that Morelos came on for, 20 minutes?
Yeah.
And had two fantastic shot chances to score.
Yeah.
You know, one of them was just, you know, but I think the two of them were, well, no, the first one was just pure opportunist, which would have been goal of the season if he'd have scored it. Really unlucky. And then that one again, you know, if it had been 3 or 4 inches either side, he would have scored. So I took a lot of heart out of that, or the encouragement, I should say, out of the fact that he had two great chances and was really unlucky with both of them, for him being, you know, away and no playing for a while now, for him to come back in, you know, we just 20 minutes in a game, the vast majority of players would have been trying to find their feet, and he had two great chances to score, which he was really unlucky. So you've got to take the positives out of that. It's shown you that he is still really hungry and he was desperate to go on the goal sheet, which is fantastic for us. And here's hope that he's back in the next game and he's going to be, you know, back on the score sheet for us, because he, I keep saying it, Derek, he is our talisman. He is our superstar, and I don't use that term loosely at all when I talk about players, but he is a superstar. He's our talismanic superstar in our team, and we've missed him so much, and I, for one, am so happy that he's back, and he'll be back playing on Saturday. I really am.
Yeah. So... ends up in the league, we're played 22, won 18, drawn 2, lost 2, scored 57, conceded 13, goal difference plus 44 and on 56 points. 5 points behind Celtic, but we've got a game in hand. They've got a plus 6 better goal difference than us, though. We're 15 ahead of Motherwell, who are in third, but we've got a game in hand over them as well. So, I mean, win the game in hand, obviously it's vital, we've got to win the game in hand, then it's back down to 2 points. So, I mean, the league's going to take twists and turns. The league is not over. Yeah, if we go another 3 points behind, it's maybe a different story. You're looking at where are Celtic going to drop points. There are still two Old Firm games to go, yep, though. They're going to be clearly 6-pointers, each of them. So,
Derek, I'm not just sort of hoping, but this Celtic team aren't as good as they have been, you know, certainly under, you know, when Brendan Rodgers was there. So surely they are going to drop points, not just against us. They can't keep on winning. I do not honestly think that they've got a good enough team to do that. So we just need to let that sort of self out. We just have to concentrate on us. And I've said it for a long time. And our next, I'm sure that you're going to get into the games coming up. But we have got a lot of home games coming up, which I am expecting us to win all of them. I'll be honest with you. If we drop any points out of our home games that are coming up, I'll be absolutely devastated, because we should have enough quality to be able to do that, because we have got a lot of home games. They've got a lot of away games, and let's just see what happens after this sort of bank event, sort of next 5 games that are coming up. We'll see what happens after that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, as you said, games to come. Saturday the 1st of February at home to Aberdeen in the Premiership. That's a 1500 kickoff. Wednesday the 5th of February at home to Hibs in the Premiership. It's a 1945 kickoff. Saturday the 8th of February away to Hamilton. That's the Scottish Cup Round 5. That's a 12:30 kickoff. That's going to be on TV as well. Apparently that was leaked accidentally by Premier Sports. Wednesday the 12th of February away to Kilmarnock in the Premiership, and that's a 1945 kickoff as well. We've got another 4 games that in February as well, including 2 European fixtures as well. So a busy month.
it is, Derek. There's a lot of games coming up. We just have to take it game at a time. We've got Morelos back in the team. Like I said, the only player that we're going to be missing is Tav. I'm sure that you're about, you know, that you'll get into in the news. I've got a feeling that we're going to have a couple of new additions to the team, which we're desperately needing. Hopefully, they'll bring a bit of quality to them. So, you know, I'm feeling a bit more confident. Like we've said already, Derek, if you look at all the games that we've played apart from the Hearts game, defensively, we've never looked in trouble at all. And the game against Hearts was two stupid, one stupid mistake. And then the second one was a fluke. It was an opportunist goal which took a deflection and it went. And it was poor defending, like I said, for him to get it. But then the rest of the time, the defence has looked completely in control. So I'm trying not to get too carried away. I think I was just really more disappointed in the way that we've been playing than the results, Derek, to be perfectly honest with you.
Spoken like a true parent there, eh? I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed.
So there you go. But I do get it. There's a lot of fans out there. We're desperate for success, Derek. We really are. And we don't want it to be like last season because we've been playing so well. And it just looks a bit like deja vu when we came back for the pre-season, for the winter break. So we just have to hope that we just start to kick-start and really go for it on Saturday. And what better way to do it against Aberdeen, a team that I can't fucking stand. I detest them. So I really do hope we go out. I hope Morelos is really in the mood and he absolutely smashes them.
Yep, absolutely. Well, not literally, I hope, but...
No, as long as he doesn't get booked for smashing.
So we'll now go into the classic match.
And there it is! The final whistle's gone! Rangers have won the European Cup Winners' Cup!
So, Dave, what classic match have you got for us this time?
Derek, I have got an absolute classic cup final that I've got here. One that I had the privilege of being at. One that I thought that we had covered already. And when I was looking back at the matches and I watched the goal, I thought, you know, I don't think we actually have covered this. And I look back all of my games, you know, that we've got, because I've got a big list of matches that we've got here. Derek, I had the privilege of being at this match. It took place on the 29th of May, 1999, Scottish Cup final. And it was Rangers against Celtic, and it was Rangers' chance to clinch the treble. Now, Dick Advocaat, the manager, obviously, in his first season at Rangers, the Rangers team this day, Stephen Clawson goals, Sergio Perini, Lorenzo Amoruso, Colin Hendry and Tony Vidmar at the back in midfield, Derek McInnes, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, George Alberts and Neil McCann, and up front, Rod Wallace and Gabriel Amato. Celtic team on the day was Jonathan Gould, Tom Boyd, Stephen Mahe, Alan Stubbs, Enrico Annone, Morten Vikors, Paul Lambert, Johan Mjalby, Reggie Blinker, Lubomir Moravcek and Henrik Larsson. On the bench for Rangers in this game, Scott Wilson, Ian Ferguson and Andrei Kanchelskis. So, the first sort of 20 minutes of the match, Derek, I've actually got written down here that both teams were feeling each other out. I don't know if that's the right choice of words there, but there was a lot of passing going about, you know, a few attempts to try and crack open the defences and stuff like that. There was nothing really happening. And the first real chance actually came on the 20th minute when Tony Vidmar was hacked down at the edge of the box on the left-hand side by Moravcek. And the free kick was taken by Lorenzo Amoruso, who came up and absolutely smashed it low and it just went past the post, hit the side net. And a lot of us thought that he'd actually scored with that one, but it was into the side net. And 2 minutes after that, Celtic with a long shot that hit the bar. Just after Rangers basically just kept giving the ball away, we couldn't seem to hold on to it. Celtic actually clipped the bar with that one, but we managed to clear the ball. And then 2 minutes after that, a free kick to Celtic on the left, floated in but punched away by Stefan Kloss. Really good save there. But then on the 27th minute, the ball played through to Rod Wallace. He beats Enrico Annone for pace, but a trailing leg just puts him off balance. He was just about to go through and hit the ball. A trailing leg by Annone, he must have just seen it. Instead of going down for the penalty, he was going for the ball, and it just gave Gould enough time just to come out
and grab the ball on him. He really should have scored there, but still 0-0. 33rd minute, another great chance for Rangers. George Albert's on the left wing, sees McCann running into the box and chips in. McCann slides in, but another great save by Gould to get the ball away. So Rangers on the ascendancy there. 2 minutes after that, 35th minute, Neil McCann on the right-hand side beats his man, holds up the ball in the box and then chips in a great shot for Amato that he's seen running into the back post. Amato slides in again and then again another fantastic save by Jonathan Gould to keep Gould to keep that out. And then straight up the other end where Kloss pulls off a fantastic save where he palms it away for Henrik Larsson. Celtic claimed the penalty, but it's clearly a fantastic save. The ball was kind of going across the face of goal. Larsson and Kloss were going, but Kloss made this fantastic dive and save and palms the ball away for Larsson. Of course, Larsson goes down, but there was never a penalty. Great save by Stefan Kloss. And then just before half time, Derek McInnes shoots over after good work from McCann, who puts the cross in. It was cleared to Derek McInnes. He had the first time shot and just over the bar. So Rangers certainly the better team in the first half, but no goals scored. So away in at half time. So back out, start of the second half, Rangers going for it straight for the start. Tony Vidmar with a 1-2 with George Albert. George Albert, he runs inside and hits a fantastic shot, which is saved again by Gould. And then 3 minutes later, Rangers opened the scoring.
Back to their customary 4-4-2 with two wide men. I'm sure that's in the mind of Dick Advocaat, but sticking with it as it is meantime. Vidmar, Wallace, and Rod Wallace again! That's the break. 4 minutes gone in the second half. It's number 27 of the season for Rod Wallace. He took it well. It was a good ball in from Vidmar. It caused problems, ricocheted and a break of the ball definitely. But Rod Wallace was very, very sharply onto it. McCann went in with studs. Look how he took it there. The keeper was coming out. Just very, very quickly drew on his left foot. But it was a good cross from Vidmar initially that caused the problems. He got wide. He just sent it in low. Rangers have the breakthrough.
Tony Vidmar, who was having a fantastic game on the left-hand side, he makes a low cross, which is left by Wallace. He sort of dummies it for Neil McCann. Neil McCann goes in to try and gets the shot. He sort of stabs it. There's a tackle, and it just falls perfectly for Rod Wallace, who drills it into the back of the net for his 27th goal of the season. A fantastic return on a guy that we picked up as a free transfer. Scored the goal, 1-0 to Rangers. Richly deserved. We were by far the better team. 49th minute, George Albert's again running through, hits a fantastic low shot and another excellent save by Jonathan Gould. And then Celtic had a chance just about 12 minutes after that, 61st minute, Morten Wieghorst, he picks up a loose ball in the box and fires it. It's going low, an absolutely incredible save by Stefan Kloss down his right-hand side to put the ball out for a corner. Tremendous save. And then another save, Celtic coming back into it at this point, 65th minute. A fantastic save by Kloss after a shot by Alan Stubbs, believe it or not. He gets the ball and manages to hang on to that. And then the next sort of 10 minutes, Celtic really putting the pressure on, trying to get the equaliser. But Rangers were holding strong. There was one cross which was fired in by Reggie Blinker, headed away by Colin Hendry, straight out to Vikos, who has a shot charged down by Lorenzo Amoruso, and then eventually cleared. So really, we were holding strong at that point. And then in the 80th minute, we really should have put the game to bed. George Albert's on the left-hand side, a low cross over to Gabriel Amato. He takes the touch and fires it low, and an absolutely sensational save again by Jonathan Gould. He really did keep Celtic in this one. Amato couldn't have done anything more. It was a great shot, but a fantastic save still to keep it 1-0. And then Lorenzo Amoruso, 5 minutes after that, he goes on one of his charging runs. He's actually brought down himself, takes the free kick himself and hits a shot for miles out. But the dip and the swerve on the shot, if you actually go back and look at it, the swerve that it takes, and it ended up only just, you know, a few inches over the bar. That would have been sensational, but wasn't to be. And then right at the end of the game, Stefan Kloss again, the hero, with two great saves. The first one, he punches away from a high cross in by Moravcek. And then it's a rebound again, which was Henrik Larsson. A fantastic rebound save. He was well out of the six-yard box. A fantastic save, and the ball cleared. And then the 94th minute, the full-time whistle is blown.
Of course, the final whistle goes. Rangers have won the treble. In his first season of Scottish football, Dick Advocaat wins all three, and Rod Wallace is the match winner. And here's a sweet moment coming up for Lorenzo Amoruso, and Rangers players, management and supporters. Rangers take delivery of the Tennent Scottish Cup, and that makes it a clean sweep of Scottish football's big prizes.
Rangers have won the treble, Dick Advocaat's first season. Absolutely a tremendous achievement by Rangers. Completely blew everybody out of the water. Some fantastic performances in there. But I have to say, my man Tony Vidmar, absolutely outstanding in this game. So surely that one, Derek, you can remember that one.
I can remember bits and pieces of it. I remember Wallace's goal and things like that. But just, you know what I'm like, don't you?
Well, as I say, I was lucky enough to have a ticket for Hampden that day. And to see us win the treble was, you know, absolutely fantastic. We kind of took it for granted. But back then, when we were winning, we had such fantastic players. But it was great. And as I say, for a guy like Rod Wallace, like I said, that we picked up on a free transfer, for the return we got for him was sensational. 27 goals that season from him was just tremendous. But some other great performances as well in the Rangers team. You know, George Albert's had a fantastic match also. So, you know, a great game, a great result. It was, you know, the game that got us the treble. So, as always, if you get the chance to go back and watch it, please do. So it was a fantastic game.
Yep, absolutely. I've managed to find also the full game as well, if you want to go back and watch that on YouTube as well. So I'll include the link in our description.
Excellent.
So we'll now go into the news. So, unfortunately, quite a bit of news to cover this time. Starting off with a bit of sad news. Rangers legend and former Scotland manager Bobby Brown has passed away at the age of 96. He had spent 10 years at Ibrox with 296 games, 109 clean sheets, which is a great record.
Fantastic, yep.
He was, at the time, our oldest living former player. He had never missed a league game for 6 years straight, going on a run of 179 games.
Fantastic.
Which is mental. Yep. He was born no far away from us as well, in Dunipace.
All right, I didn't know that.
I mean, I didn't know anything about him, and that's maybe my ignorance of some of our past players.
Yeah.
But it was, I actually first heard about him this Christmas because my father-in-law got me a book about him as well, and he was telling me all about him. So certainly something I'll need to read as soon as I can.
Definitely.
Next bit of news here, Morelos, can I... really, really concerning piece of news here just over the last couple of days. Morelos has apparently chased someone down the street for apparently tampering with the underside of his Lamborghini. Police are investigating, taking the car away. Apparently there's nothing of criminality reported yet. However, there's been suggestions of brake tampering.
Derek, I don't know where that stories came from, to be honest with you, but I've certainly seen that's the story that has been breaking. There's been nothing confirmed as yet. But if it is the case, Derek, that is quite incredible. It's extremely disturbing and very, very frightening. And the consequences, if that was the case, is, you know, that goes beyond the level of football rivalry.
Yeah, I mean, that's attempted murder. There's no two ways about that. That's exactly what that is.
But
so,
again, we still don't know 100% that was the case. These are just stories that have came out, but certainly that's the one story that's doing the rounds majorly. As usual, the fans of other teams have gone from being tax law experts to now expert Lamborghini mechanics to tell us that's not the case.
Yeah.
Again, until we know the actual full story, we really can't comment on what's happened. But if that is the case, Derek, that just brings it to a whole new psychotic level for me. That goes above and beyond football rivalry, if that is the case.
Yeah. So we'll just need to wait and see how that transpires. Next piece of news, Gerrard was named Manager of the Month for December. We had scored 15 goals, won 5, drawn 1 and 4 away games as well. Yep. So incredible record there for December, considering that was a much tougher run-in we've got this month as well. So.
Yeah, well, yep.
Of one of the games, the SFA have revealed it was the brutality of Ryan Christie's ball grab on Morelos that got him the ban, but only two of the former match officials on the panel agreed with that. So I don't know how the other one didn't agree with that. Must be a Celtic fan.
Well, allegedly.
Yes. It still rumbles on. We're still getting the backlash from it as well. But at the time of writing this, 18 days after the event, the SFA had stated that Morelos was booked after the game for his gesture, his slit throat gesture, and it was his third yellow card of the game because he had obviously got two to pick up his sending off. So very, very strange. Why did it take 18 days for this to come about? You know, yes. A referee is meant to go into the dressing room after the game to give a booking if that is the case. So that never came out of Ibrox, did it?
No, definitely not. And we've went over it already, Derek. It was a farce sending off because his first yellow card, they actually got taken out of the game. You know, the ball himself should never have got booked for it. It's been time and time again. So it makes the whole thing a complete farce. You know, the decisions that were made. And again, we've had to pay for the consequences of, you know, very poor refereeing.
Yeah, well, we're not finished there because the day after that, the next day, they confirmed without elaborating anymore that Morelos and Kent won't face bans for their gesture. That's because there's actually no rule to ban someone for making a gesture. However, they did hit us with two charges over our background staff getting sent off for this game and the Hibs game. Tom Culshaw, I think, got sent off in the Hibs game and Beale got sent off in the Celtic game there. The Hibs game was 9 days previous to the Old Firm game. Mm-hmm. So this is like nearly a month later they're hitting us with a ban for the Hibs game. The Hibs, fair enough, they got the same charge because one of their background staff got sent off as well. Apparently it was under Rule 204 of whatever conduct thing, and it was conduct that may otherwise incite disorder. Basically, made the uppy charges because they couldn't hit us with any hearty gestures.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it led to Rangers releasing a statement, slamming the charges, questioning the timing right before our game in the Scottish Cup against Stranraer, the length of the time that came as well. They said they will make further comment after the weekend, which was after the Stranraer game. We're actually still waiting on Rangers making comments. So a bit strange why Rangers haven't said anything else about that as well. But just once again, the SFA making things up as they go along.
It just seems, Derek, that if they can't punish us for one rule, they'll find something else to try and punish us with. That's just exactly how it looks.
Hartson making an absolute arse of himself as well, calling, having a go at us for the statement, calling us morally dreadful and astounding for defending the Morelos gesture. No, Hartson, what's morally dreadful is trying to cover up child abuse like your club did. So let's put things into perspective here, Hartson, eh?
The guy, again, Derek, he's a complete irrelevance these days. The only way that he's getting any attention is just by trying to have a pop at Rangers or trying to do something a bit like his pal that does the commentating for BT Sport. It's really quite childish now. It's tiresome. They'll go out their way just to try and have a pop whatever way they can. And it's really quite embarrassing, I think, now, to be honest with you.
Well, he wasn't finished there because I think it was the next night or two nights later he was on BBC Sportsound claiming that Morelos gave the middle finger to Motherwell fans when they got sent off a few games beforehand. Now, that incident had been again analysed to death by the BBC, by the papers, by all pundits. The BBC pundit never corrected him when they have the duty to do so when they've got something wrong. He had to take to Twitter the next day to apologise. Not that many people would have seen it, of course, because he's blocked anyone who questions him on anything.
Including us.
Yes, including us. And I remember specifically what I asked him because him and Joey Barton had a wee spat and I had a cheeky wee jibe. Nothing bad at all. And he blocked us straight away because he knew he was in the wrong then. So he's just a childish moron who can't take when he's in the wrong. So
when are they ever going to learn, Derek? Really?
Yeah,
it's quite incredible. As I say, I think it's getting embarrassing now. It's just like, you know, we're not getting any attention, we can't do anything, so we'll just have a wee pop and it'll get, you know, a lot of people angry and it'll get me back in the limelight and stuff like that. It's really quite sad. It really is.
Yeah. Next thing we've got here, I don't know how to take this. I don't know how anyone knows how to take this. There's been stories that, you know, court papers get released and there's about 20 different explanations of what it means. But Rangers were apparently back in court because they asked the judge to relax the kit deal injunction, which Sports Direct applied and were granted. It surrounds, obviously, the issues with Elite and the fact that they're a distributor and all that kind of thing. Well, it turns out that the judge basically granted Rangers' appeal and allowed Elite and JD or whoever it was to actually pay us around £2.5 million for the shirt sales that they'd been apparently prevented to do so due to the injunction. However, what's been reported today as well from people more in the know than us, Four Lads and Heart and Hand as well, that it's actually kind of a bad thing because it looks as if then the Elite have been in bed at some point with Sports Direct. They're going to become official resellers or something like that for something. So I really don't know what's happening. I don't think anybody has a clear idea of what's happening. And what's more concerning is the fact that this is not going to get heard now until 2021.
I know. It just rumbles on and on, Derek, doesn't it? There never seems to be an end in sight, is there? It's just constantly on and on and on and on, and once we think that we're maybe getting some good news, you know, it just comes back and slaps us in the face. It's just going to, I don't know when it's ever going to end, to be perfectly honest with you. It's just, it's a disaster and has been for the start.
I mean, I would have said if there is any links clearly with Sports Direct and Elite, it almost makes it a conflict of interest. And have they been in cahoots all the time with this? Or, you know, we just don't know. And that's the big problem. And then it's going to take another year, at least another year, year and a half for the initial trial to happen. And then there's going to be appeals because, you know, whatever side loses, they're going to appeal it. The judge needs to put a stop to this there and then. But I don't know what's going to happen now. We're playing the long game with this one. As long as we get paid, ultimately, that's the main thing. In this respect, it's dealing with every battle as it comes along. As you said, never ending. So
yeah.
They did, however, though, I don't know if it was linked to this court hearing or something else, but there was obviously discrepancies in what was getting charged for legal fees and all that kind of thing. And apparently a judge, I don't know if it's the same one, has ordered Sports Direct to pay $75,000 worth of our legal fees. So at least it's something anyway. So, I don't know.
I know.
So on to more happier news now, though, that before he got injured, Defoe has taken a reported 65% wage cut to sign a pre-contract us for next year. Bournemouth deal was ending at the end of the year, and so was his loan, but he wanted to stay. So it's great news all round.
It is, Derek, or it was until last night, you know, until what happened with him. But it shows you a player who, you know, could still easily be playing in, you know, the bottom half of the English Premier League, getting a huge payout, or at least playing in the Championship, getting a huge pay as well. Would rather stay at Rangers and try and win some trophies under Steven Gerrard. It shows you that he must be really enjoying his time here. He's obviously found a sort of new lease of life, and, you know, he's really wanting to go for it. And it's great for us that he's committing, because he is a class act, Derek. Experienced guy, the type of guy that you love to have around, that helps out the young players as well as what he does on the pitch for the rest of the team. So no, it's excellent. I'm really pleased, just absolutely gutted that he's going to be out for a few weeks now. That's the only thing.
Yeah, absolutely. The one here that has got everybody going mental over in a good way, and I'll admit I know nothing about him, but everybody seems to say that he's an absolute class act. Ianis Hagi, the son of Romanian legend Georgi Hagi, is set to sign a loan with us for the rest of the season with a view to buying the summer. Appears to be a bit of a coup because he lit up the under 21 Euro Championships last summer with Romania. He did sign for Genk in July 2019 on a 5-year deal for a reported €8 million, but he's failed to make an impression. The rumours apparently are that it's a £5 million deal if we sign him. Now, I don't have any facts on that. I'm just hearing that from other podcasts and online as well. But certainly that's going by what everybody's saying. Even our rival fans are saying that's a bloody good signing for us.
I tried to do a wee bit of homework on him today, Derek, because it does look as if he's going to be signing for us tomorrow on loan for the rest of the season. There's a couple of guys on Twitter who are journalists from Romania who, you know, seem to rate him very, very highly, although the one thing that he did say that worries him slightly is he's quite lightweight. That's the only thing. But he certainly plays in that number 10 role. He's got the knack of scoring quite sensational goals, which is what we're looking for. He links up well with a main striker, apparently, and they really do think that he's a great player. It was just about maybe 3 years ago that he was actually on the list of the sort of top young players in the world at that stage. As you say, he was excellent in the under 21 Euros. He was apparently fantastic, and he's been capped for his country, I think, maybe 10 times already, full international. So, you know, it certainly sounds if he's got a good pedigree, the type of player that we're looking for that can unlock defences. I think that we really need a striker in at this stage as well. So, by all accounts, there's been a lot of other rumours about other strikers, and I was just having a wee look at Twitter there just now, just before we got into this section, and we seem to be linked very heavily with Hibs striker Florin Camberi, who is a big, you know, I think he's about 6'4", 6'5" striker. I honestly can't tell you if he's any good or not. I know he did look good against us in a few games, but I don't know much about him. But we've been heavily linked with him. But I think we definitely do need to bring in a striker, Derek, because if anything does happen to Morelos, then we are absolutely fucked. So we definitely need that. So hopefully he can get a couple of signings over the line. I don't know what the transfer deadline is in Scotland. Does it go on slightly longer than it does in England? Does it shut at maybe 11 in England, but 12 in Scotland or something like that? I'm not quite sure, but I hope he can get a couple of deals through, you know, before it finishes anyway, just to, you know, he gives that wee boost.
Yeah, absolutely. As you said, I mean, Florin Camberi is strongly linked with us. There's also a few things just going on about the transfer window the now. Jones is rumoured to be going to Middlesbrough on loan till the end of the season. Part of the Camberi thing as well is that Four Lads are reporting that Greg Docherty will head to Edinburgh tomorrow to talk to Hibs regarding a 6-month loan deal. That's on the back of the Camberi thing, so kind of mutual scratching backs kind of thing there. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
What's your take on Greg Docherty, Derek?
You know, he's clearly wanting to stay because I think he turned down a opportunity to go back to Shrewsbury, and he wanted to fight for his place. So I know that Gerrard has already previously came out and said that there's some players that just have to go out and loan and get some game time through no fault of their own, and they're not getting a game because our first team are playing well. So that's the annoying thing is, we've sent a good few players out on loan who might be first-team players or might be close to first-team just at the time when our team maybe need that wee bit extra backup and a wee bit different options. So it'll be interesting to see what happens for the close of the window there.
He's, I think, maybe the only one. I know that we've recalled Jake Hasty back into the team. He's the one player, him and Ross McCrory, who I also rate very highly. You know, when at this moment in time, obviously Jack's out and Glenn Kamara's struggling, surely that's maybe a wee opportunity for one of these guys to come in and play, but it's not happened. And I actually feel quite sorry for Greg Docherty because I do think he's a good player, Derek. Premier League experience, he was a standout for Hamilton, who were like very poor. And he's got an eye for goal as well, as he's shown when he's doing in Shrewsbury also. So I do feel quite sorry for the guy. So I just hope it, you know, eventually maybe does get his chance and he shines. But that's another one of these. We'll have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a few comings and goings here. Barisic has signed an extension until 2024.
Fantastic.
That was today. Great.
Yes.
On the books there. Goalkeeper Andy Firth signs a year extension, keeping him here until the summer of 2021. Youngster Zach Rudden has left the club and signed a 2.5-year deal with Partick Thistle. He obviously went on loan to, it was Falkirk last year. I never got it wrong this time. And a bit disappointing in that one because he was, you know, setting the header alight with
he
Falkirk.
Was, yep.
Mm-hmm. So, another one here, a blast from the past almost. Eduardo Herrera leaves with immediate effect. He had been on loan with Necaxa. However, that ended. He still had 6 months to run on his contract. However, he's staying in Mexico and he's signed with Puebla FC. No payoff to him, no fee to us, though. He's basically just off our books. So wish him well in that. Just an unfortunate one there.
And we're going to miss his Instagram pictures as well. That's, he's been great for the tourist board of Scotland. He really has.
Exactly. Jamie Murphy has joined Burton Albion on loan till the end of the season. Yep. Kind of, I understand the reasons why with that one, but I would have liked to see him in the first team as well.
Scored in his debut as well, Derek.
He did. Robbie McCrory, his loan at Queen of the South was ended early by us, and he has now joined Livingston on loan. Apparently Queen of the South are unhappy about that, but it suits us better and suits Livingston as well. It suits Robbie as well better. Better experience all round.
Yeah, definitely. And as I say, he'll have the opportunity there as well, because, you know, obviously his predecessor was, you know, our ex-goalkeeper also. So, he'll have a good chance of playing, you know, some top-level football at Livingston as well. So wish him all the best also, because I've got a feeling, Derek, he could be the future for Rangers in goals. And this is, you know, just like what happened with Alan McGregor. He went out on loan to quite a few places as well, just to get his experience up. And, you know, look where that took us. And I do have a strong feeling that he'll be the future goalkeeper of Rangers. So wish him all the best.
Yep. Next to here, I haven't seen it confirmed anywhere, but it was reported that JB Burjonas was set for a Partick Thistle loan until the end of the season, and Jordan Houston set for a permanent move to Ayr United as well. So wish them luck either way, whatever happens there. And then getting on to some background staff as well, Rangers have appointed Matt Konopinsku, I hope that I've pronounced it right, as head of medical services. Certainly a good pedigree as well. Comes from the English FA, has worked with Gerrard at Liverpool, and he's worked with the Three Lions rugby team as well. So
excellent.
We've mentioned him on the pod before, but former St Mirren number 2 and my primary school mate, Mark Spalding, has joined us as the head of Intermediate Academy, reuniting him and Ross Wilson. He had been working as part of Bayern Munich's American Academy type thing across in the States. So certainly he's got all his badges. He comes with certainly a lot of experience as well. So good luck to him as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. Rangers Youth Development Company have handed over £450,000 to our academy. This follows their £400,000 donation last year. So certainly brilliant from the Youth Development Company there. They obviously do things like, I think it's the pools and all that kind of thing for us. And they said that they've handed out about £500,000 worth of prizes as well to fans who've paid in. So that's, they said they wanted to get up to £1 million next year in total between donation to the academy and also prizes as well. So great to see.
Yeah, it really is. That's tremendous.
Next thing here, the club have announced a new partnership with Club 1872, who will be the football department sponsor for this season. It gives Club 1872 members behind-the-scenes access and Q&A events. I kind of don't know what this means, because Club 1872 and Rangers are kind of quite tightly bonded anyway, they know, in that respect, and they are fourth highest shareholding stake in the club as well. So the last piece of Rangers related news I've got here is we have partnership with Molton Brown to provide luxury bath, body and hand and hair products at our hospitality and VIP access areas at Ibrox and Hummel Training Centre. So this is what certainly we should be aspiring to, high class brands that we should be associated with. So it's certainly something that our commercial director has been doing and very well, it seems, since he's came in. So it's great to see.
Yep, soap, that'll never catch on in the other end of the city, Derek.
No, certainly not. So going into a few non-Rangers related issues here, Kyle Lafferty has signed for Sunderland until the end of the season. Sunderland at the time put out a tweet saying he is 7 foot and he plays the flute, however, promptly deleted it.
I seen that. Could you imagine the outrage, Derek? An absolute outrage that would have came for that. That's somebody, I don't know, maybe taking the piss, or somebody just being incredibly naive. I don't know, but it certainly did chuckle when I seen that.
There's nothing wrong with it, just saying that he's 7 foot and he plays the flute. I mean, it's maybe technically inaccurate, but...
Aye, because he's like 6'4".
Next thing I've got here, and I hate to mention them, but when it's kind of got relevance to kind of some of what we've had to deal with, then certainly is, I feel as if I have to mention it. Lee Griffiths back in the Celtic team, causing controversy in his first two games. He had a gesture in his first game back where he, I think he shushed fans. He had another gesture in the game against Kilmarnock, followed by what appeared to be verbals between him and a Killy fan as he was subbed and he was walking off, Griffiths throwing sock tape at a fan. Now, absolutely, from what we've heard so far, no SFA charges, no outrage at his gestures, and no outrage at his sock tape. A couple of pundits have said that he maybe shouldn't have done it, but no outrage.
Derek, come on, he's the victim here.
Well, yeah, Lennon straight away, before anything was said, claiming he was the victim of abuse.
It's regardless what happens, Derek, the whole sort of shush thing, that's just him being a wee widow. But I know that he didn't cause any damage. I know that he didn't, but the whole action of him throwing anything at a fan, he should be getting punished for that, regardless who he is and regardless what it was. It could have been a bit of blooming tissue paper, but the action was still there. The intent was still there. It was really, really in poor taste by him. I wouldn't expect anything else from him. But this whole, the man's got mental health issues, the man's got problems, the man's got this. Every fucking person in the world is, you know, gets problems, Derek, everybody. But because of who he is, because of who he plays for, he has got the whole of the Scottish media protecting him, as we expect. And it's just, the thing that gets me, Derek, is if Alfredo Morelos had done that, what would have been the reaction?
Exactly.
What would have been the reaction? There would have been people wanting him to be getting charged by the police for assaulting somebody. There would have been folk wanting him fucking extradited for the country. The outrage would have been absolutely sensational. But because it's Lee Griffiths, nothing happens. It gets swept under the carpet. There's apparently a line being drawn under it. And, you know, we move on. It's just the hypocritical. It's quite incredible. It really is. I cannot stand the guy. I know that, obviously, and I'm not talking about his, you know, things that have happened to him off the field. I'm talking about when he's actually playing. He's caused more bother on the field than Alfredo Morelos ever will or ever has. But again, in his antics, you know, when he's been off the field as well, have been absolutely incredible. And again, I'm not delving into his problems and inverted commas that he's got. I'm talking about some of the idiotic, stupid things that he's done, like wiping his nose on our corner flag, like standing in amongst all the Celtic fans, waving a tricolour, you know, all the other stupid things that he's done just to wind folk up that nothing ever seems to get done about. I can't stand the guy, Derek, and the double standards for the media in Scotland are just absolutely incredible when it comes to him.
Yeah, let's put this in its perspective today, because today Brian Rice was up at the SFA. He's walking into the front door of Hampden, which has got emblazoned with sponsored by William Hill. Up on charges of betting. Now, we all know that players, managers, staff are not allowed to bet on football. I don't know if they're allowed to bet on anything, to be honest, but they're not allowed to specifically bet on football. He's had to come out because quite clearly he's got a problem. He's kind of documented that. He's battling gambling addiction. Now, we can talk about the rights and wrongs and that all day, but the SFA hit him with a 10-game ban.
Yep.
A 10-game ban for... Yep. What is clinically classed as addiction and which is clinically classed as a disease. Lee Griffiths claimed he's got mental health issues. Where's the bans for him? Because he's well known for being gambling. I don't think, has he been banned for that?
No, I don't think so. It's not just the gambling, Derek. The stories we've heard, which I'm not going to go into because we don't know if they're true or not, but the stories that we've heard about Lee Griffiths are quite incredible. But again, for me, it is just the pure double standards of, because who he plays for, Derek, you know, it's poor Lee. He's a victim there. Any other player would be treated different. And certainly if it was a Rangers player or if it was Alfredo Morelos, then, oh my God, I would honestly hate to see the reaction it would get if it was. It's just the sheer double standards with the guy. It infuriates me just even thinking about it, some of the things that he's got away with. But because, again, he has mental health issues, which I'm sure there are hundreds and hundreds of people playing football professionally, thousands even, that have got mental health issues as well, that don't get up to the antics that he does as well. You know, it's quite incredible. It really is. And it's this whole fucking victim status that gets me, where, you know, at least Brian Rice has faced up to his problem, Derek, and he's handed, he actually said that today, he's basically handed himself into the SFA to see what they're going to do. It's, according to him, it's been a weight off his shoulders. I genuinely hope Brian Rice, you know, seeks help and gets himself back in order, because, you know, he's a, even although it's Hamilton Accies, and again, no disrespect to Hamilton Accies, but he is in the public view, especially in the top flight Scottish football. So I really do hope he gets his life back in order, he takes his ban, and, you know, he can move on from there. But as I say, the whole double standard thing just really gets me. It really does.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we're not quite finished with this, because during the game, Chris Boyd was part of the TV panel for Sky, who actually criticised Griffiths for his attitude off the field when he had only played 34 times under, I think it was 135 opportunities under Brendan Rodgers. Absolute moral outrage from the media, Celtic and their fans, and I just can't believe this next two things I'm going to say here. It prompted 230 complaints to Ofcom, and Celtic wrote to Sky demanding answers over Boyd's comments.
I mean, we have to put up with Andy Walker and Chris Sutton, you know, Sky and BT, and some of the disgraceful things that they could come away with, Derek. I mean, we have to listen to guys like Chris Sutton calling Alfredo Morelos Buffalo Brains,
yeah,
you know, on TV, and there's nothing said. Says you come, it's always this fucking victim thing that that these fans and that club have, which is quite incredible. And then I'm sure, did Chris Boyd have to come out with some sort of statement to say what, to justify what he said or something like that? Is that
he
right?
He did. And to be honest, I would have lost the plot if I was him, because he actually had to say, I don't need reminded about mental health issues and how delicate it can be, because my brother killed himself because of that. That's the thing that angers me most. They're lecturing someone whose brother killed himself because he's got genuine mental health issues, who couldn't get the help he needed. Mm-hmm. Where this fucking clown Griffiths, if he's got them, that's one thing, but the way he's portrayed as a victim because he does nothing wrong, like every single Celtic player, every single Celtic fan, they're whiter than white, the sun shines out their arse, they're holier than thou. That's the pish we've got to deal with. And that's, for him to have to come out and defend that, what he said, which was perfectly legitimate, his attitude was fucking stinking. That's the reason why he only played 34 times.
The power of Holycomb, Derek.
Aye, exactly. But anyway, we'll get off of that fucking waster anyway. WWE superstar and Rangers fan Drew McIntyre won the Royal Rumble on Sunday there. The first Brit to do so, never mind the first Scot, and he's set to face Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, presumably for the WWE title. Now, I know this means absolutely nothing to you, Dave.
No, but I do know who he is, Derek, and obviously on social media, I've seen him with Rangers top on. I've seen the interviews where he said that he wants to face off with, you know, I think he had the, if you could face off against any football player in the ring, who would it be? And he was like, oh, I would face off against Scott Brown and all that. So I do know who he is, and I do know he's a big Rangers man, and he's always got his Rangers strip and all that on, and he's a bit of a diehard. So for him to be, you know, a superstar, you know, in the wrestling world, and have all these tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of followers and all that, for him to be portraying the club the way he does is excellent, and cheering us on with a strip. So, no, delighted that we've got, you know that's a high-profile figure supporting Rangers and that, which is always good. So I don't know anything about the Royal Rumble, Derek. I know what it is for years ago, but I didn't see any of it or anything like that. But just pleased it's a Rangers man that won it.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a big push for him this year. He's obviously been in WWE 11 years ago. He basically got sacked. He's reinvented himself and went all around the world travelling, came back to WWE, and he's set the world alight, and it's great. And I tell you something, he better bring the WWE title back to Ibrox if he wins it.
Did you not just say that he won it? Or no, it was the Royal Rumble he won. Do you not get something for that?
Well, you get the chance to face the champion at WrestleMania.
All right. So right. You didn't get the actual any trophies or anything for winning the Royal Rumble?
No, that's pretty shit. Well, it's not okay. Really. It's a big thing. It's the Royal Rumble.
Nah, I know, but you would have thought he would have got some sort of award or belt or something that he could have. But as you say, so who does he play in the final or fight in the final?
Who does he play in the final? He basically gets a title shot at WrestleMania.
And who is he fighting?
Well, the champion now is Brock Lesnar, and he's challenged Brock Lesnar. So,
right, and is he any good?
Oh, he broke the Undertaker streak at WrestleMania.
Oh, Undertaker, I've heard of him before, Derek.
I'm getting into realms that you've no idea about.
I'm getting lost here now, so there you go. But anyway.
Giant haystacks, Dave.
I was thinking more of Jake the Snake Roberts.
he's still kicking about. So.
Oh, there you go. See, I've
got in WWE, though, but he's still kicking about.
Right, okay.
So...
talking Guy, about snakes.
Uh-huh. How did you know? Guy, age 21, gets his penis stuck for 5 days in homemade sex toy.
Right, okay. 5 days, right.
The 21-year-old decided to have a go at making his own sex toy, giving the new meaning to DIY, and successfully got his penis stuck for a whole 5 days, eventually causing it to rot.
Oh my God, right.
He didn't go to the hospital until the pain became unbearable, but by this point, a lot of the damage was unfortunately already done. The unidentified man, no wonder he's unidentified, eventually dragged himself to hospital in Bangkok and explained the situation to doctors.
Bangkok, uh-huh. Right.
He told medics they had used industrial equipment to masturbate twice before, but this time, after experimenting
industrial equipment.
Yes. After right. This time experimenting with a sock, he climaxed and could not remove himself. He spent paramedics spent 3 hours cutting at metal from a man's penis, but wasted 25 blades slicing through it.
Oh, man.
The paramedic said, "When I first saw his penis, it was already swollen. The bolt and nuts were just three. Yeah. The bolt and nuts he put on were 3 millimetres thick, and we went to cut them open with a small blade. We used 25 blades and spent more than 3 hours on the operation." The man had been experimenting, adding a black sock to his sex toy, but this is one of the reasons why that he was stuck. Apparently, the young man's penis had rotted so badly he could have lost it altogether in true Theon Greyjoy style.
Ah, exactly. So yes. What happened to him, Derek? Did he lose it, or did he know?
The doctor said it's very dangerous to have the penis in this situation for 3 hours, let alone 5 days. The penis was stuck because it was erect in the bolt. The cavities filled with blood, but afterwards the blood couldn't return and stayed in the glands at the top of the penis. The organ then began rotting. Being stuck like this for 3 hours could cause someone to lose their penis. The man was stuck for 5 days. I'm still shocked that he survived. He ended up not having to have it removed, and he didn't die.
Oh my God, that's fucking disturbing, Derek.
Yes.
I'm still, did they really explain what it was that he was kind of, he had done, or what it was that he was...
Bolts and nuts, I think.
It takes all sorts, doesn't it?
Yeah. Apparently he's not the only one to endure some penis problems, because the infamous Dave the Duck actually had to have his penis removed after trying to mate with his female friend 10 times a day. Eventually Dave's love stick became injured and infected, meaning the poor bird had to have it removed.
What? What's Dave the Duck?
It's a duck.
What the fuck are you talking about?
This is a new one. Do you want me to go into the full story?
I think you're going to have to.
Sex-crazed Dave the Duck has penis removed after trying to mate 10 times a day. Nymphomaniac Duck has had his penis removed due to insatiable appetite for shagging local birds. Dave the Horny Duck found himself in a bit of a pickle after trying to mate with his female friends 10 times a day. His member became injured and infected. Antibiotics, painkillers did not deter the randy animal. Regretfully, he only had one solution: chopping his dick down to a measly centimetre. After enjoying the company of Dora, Frida and Edith too much, Dave's owner, Josh Watson from Torquay, said the duck's genitals had become pretty gross.
What the fuck are you reading? Oh my God.
The story goes on, but I'm not going any further.
Oh, holy Derek, you're worrying me now, mate. You're worrying me now.
I'll just say Unilad, that's where it came from.
Dave the Duck. Dave the Horny Duck. Shags local birds. Oh my God. Right, I'm done.
I think we've reached new highs there.
No, we've definitely reached new lows there. A shadow of a doubt.
Yes, so on that note, we will end the podcast there.
Oh,
so
dear.
It's been a bit of a long podcast, but this is what happens when...
Well, Derek, that is quite good because we did have a wee request to give one of our listeners a shout-out who I think enjoys the podcast being quite long, and that is Craig Gordon, but not the Craig Gordon that plays for the Dark Side and Goals. Craig Gordon, the postie from Glasgow, who tells us he's been listening to us for a long time, helps him get through his working day, you know, when he's doing his rounds and stuff like that. So keep listening, Craig, and thanks for the support, mate.
Yes, thanks very much, and I hope Dave the Duck doesn't put you off your put you off your rounds. So,
oh my God! Right,
if people see you laughing away, then we'll know what it is anyway. So,
Dave the Duck.
Yes. So, on that note, if you want to go and check us out and any more Dave the Duck stories, then you can go to our website, which is ireadypodcast.wordpress.com, and there you can find all the social media sites such as Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, the whole lot there. So we'll probably not be back for another couple of weeks because it's the way we roll here. A few games to cover, obviously. You know, we've got 3 games in 8 days coming up in the first eight days of February. So a couple of home games, a couple of away games. Hopefully we'll get through them.
Yes.
So thanks for listening and goodbye.
Take care, folks. We will be back soon. Bye-bye.
And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.